Hello, this is Dave Jeffrey, welcoming you once again to Optimal Life. It's a program just for us older ones, brought to you on the RPH Network. In the studio with me today are two lovely readers. We have Lynn Perrott and Virginia Collins. Firstly, Virginia, how are you today?
I'm very well, thanks, Dave.
I believe you're off on another big trip very soon.
Yes, I've got another 10 days, I think, before I head out.
Not get that smile off your face. You're looking too eager. And Lynn Perrott.
Thank you, David. Yes, good to be here.
And I know you're going to stay on, aren't you? You'll help us out over the next few weeks.
Yes, that's right.
Excellent. In our program today, we're going to look at herbal remedies that fight dementia and meals that are not only good for you, but good for the planet. And Lord Howe Island, this might be interesting. There's a health retreat up there. And your rights at work. Well, first up today, it's over to you, Virginia.
Well, this first article is from the Independent Living newspaper, and it's August-September, Herbal Remedy to Fight Dementia. It sounds like a new age recipe for tea, but researchers hope a combination of Chinese herbs will hold the cure for a common form of dementia. Ginseng, saffron, and ginkgo are being blended in a treatment for vascular dementia, a type of dementia caused by brain damage from impaired blood flow to the brain. This form affects about 20% of all dementia sufferers, and at present there's no cure. The Royal Adelaide Hospital's Clinical Trials Centre is testing a treatment called Seilyongtong using the three herbs in a bid to reduce inflammation in the brain. RAH Memory Trials Manager Kathy Robinson says the trial could provide great hope for patients and families if the medications prove to have positive effects. Vascular dementia is the second most common cause of dementia after Alzheimer's disease, she says. The risk of vascular dementia increases with age, and so does the risk of disability associated with it. Risk factors for developing vascular dementia include untreated high blood pressure or irregular heart rhythms that can dislodge clots that travel to the brain and cause strokes. When there is injury in the brain, such as with stroke, there's inflammation. These herbs are thought to have anti-inflammatory properties, so we hope to see improvements in diminished functions within the brain, such as memory, judgment, reasoning, problem solving, and so on. The fantastic thing about this trial is that it's a herbal product. It's natural, so it's expected that there might be less side effects than conventional medical treatments. All the individual herbs are approved for sale over the counter. However, the doses and formulations sold in pharmacies and health food stores are different from the medication being trialled, which is provided in capsules and taken two times a day over 12 months. Marion resident Ed Donovan, 68, has Alzheimer's disease and is participating in a similar trial. His wife Wendy says the trial gives her some hope. The alternative is nothing, she says. As a carer, it means I also get great support and care because I can have a chat to Kathy and all the ladies. It gives us hope that eventually, maybe not for us, there could be a cure for at least a slowness of the effects. And that was Brad Crouch from the Independent Living in August-September this year.
You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
Ah, David, Destination Refresh, Health Retreat, Lord Howe Island.
This sounds most interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does. In need of a break, possibly even a chance to nurture yourself rather than everyone else? Andrea Duval has found a retreat that nurtures, refreshes and rejuvenates. Me and my body have been in need of a little refresh for a while, says Andrea. A chance to catch my breath and learn a few new habits that would help me make getting out of my chair that little bit easier. Surely all that stiffness can't be normal. My solution, a retreat that offered me a chance to rest as well as gain a few wellness tools to take home, which is how I found myself standing on a wooden boat deck overlooking a quiet beach just after sunrise, one arm stretched high into the air, with the other plunged to my ankles, legs akimbo. Breathe and stretch, that's it, that's it. Imagine your muscles are soft like chewy caramel, urged yoga instructor Charlotte Dodson. I'd signed up for a wellness week, 2 hours of yoga every day for 5 days. Having never been to any kind of health retreat, I wasn't sure what to expect. Looking at some of the health spa options out there, I was a little intimidated by their boot camp rigour, so this seemed a gentler option. A wellness week at Pine Trees Resort on Lord Howe Island, including 2 hours of yoga daily led by Ms. Dodson, yoga instructor to Miranda Kerr, among other celebrities, and even royalty. Along with delicious whole food, it offered daily adventure activities, including hiking and snorkeling, in the beautiful coral reef-fringed World Heritage Island, just off the coast of New South Wales. I must admit to feeling a little nervous on my way there. What sort of other people go to a wellness retreat? Will they be accomplished yogis? Will I be the worst in the class? And so it arrived, day one. 15 of us sitting on our yoga mats, legs spread wide, bending forward. Charlotte bends so far that her forehead touches the floor. A sideways glance shows that some of the others are just like me, valiantly stretching forward like toddlers reaching for a stray toy, still half upright because that's as far as we can stretch. Charlotte gently comes along and gives our rounded backs a soft push. After an hour, I'm physically spent, surprised by how much energy it takes. So the breakfast buffet is a welcome sight. Every kind of cereal, platters of fruit, fresh coffee, and there's a hot breakfast to follow. It's a hint of surprising things to come. Generous lunch spreads and lavish three-course dinners, wine optional. Hang on, doesn't this seem a contradiction to our wellness intentions? It's wellness in moderation, explains Pine Trees co-owner Luke Hansen. Experience taught Luke that by removing all the guilty pleasures from the menu, guests were smuggling in contraband chocolate and treats from the general store 15 minutes up the road. As the week goes on, we become attuned to our bodies, and I'm declining delicious desserts because I know I won't feel as good as I should at 7 a.m. the next day, stretched out and doing downward-facing dog. Besides, there's plenty of activity to burn off any excess kilojoules. After breakfast comes the group fitness session led by Luke, who, as an ecologist, leads us on fascinating walks through deep forests of native Kentia palms, towering fig trees that are hundreds of years old, to pristine beaches. Then in the afternoon there are optional cooking classes with the head chef before we're back to the deck at 4 p.m. for our afternoon yoga session. I have to say, by the afternoon yoga session on day two, every muscle in my body feels as tight as a piano wire, and as I try to will myself into this pose or that, I think I'm about to burst into tears from exhaustion and frustration. But by day three, my body has started to adjust to this new routine. These tugs and stretches become a familiar feeling, and yes, I can see I am making progress. All of us here work to extend ourselves, and those at the top of the class are making heady breakthroughs. With coaxing from Charlotte, they're able to lift their bodies into headstands like true yogis. We're proud of them too, and cheer them on. On the last afternoon, we hiked to the foot of Mount Gower for our final yoga session. The setting is majestic, the granite cliff face towering over us on one side and the sun twinkling on the ocean ahead. As we go through our routine, what had hurt on day one, my body now surrenders to. But it's really now I'm home that I appreciate what I achieved in those 5 days. Going about my normal routine, so many things have become that bit easier. And how to prepare for that retreat. Every yoga retreat getaway has its own unique character and particular areas of focus. 1. Set a goal. When deciding on a retreat, do your research and determine what you want to achieve. Is it just to improve your yoga practice? Kickstart healthy eating habits? Perhaps it's for a total physical and mental reboot. Your retreat is meant to challenge you in some ways and take you to the next level on a variety of fronts, but you need to listen to your body and your own personal needs. 2. Practice yoga before you go to ensure your body is up for the daily practice. If you're not familiar with the main yoga postures and breathing techniques, then join an introductory class. 3. Put down your phone. Get ready for a digital detox. When you're away, it's a good idea to sit with nature and watch the ocean waves or sit under the trees. You need this space to disconnect and reconnect. In fact, a lot of retreats either discourage use of mobiles or don't have Wi-Fi. 4. Ease your way in. Start getting into the mental and physical mindset in the weeks leading up to departure. If you're looking forward to quitting coffee and alcohol and eating clean, you want to avoid shocking your body in the first few days. Caffeine withdrawal headaches are no fun. 5. Make it stick. If you want a yoga practice that you can take away with you after your trip, make sure you make the most of having an instructor on hand to guide you. While you have such undivided attention at your retreat, ask as many questions as you like to be confident in what you've learned. And that information on how to enjoy a wellness retreat was from the April-May 19 Prevention magazine.
Thanks, Lynn. That's most interesting. I like that little bit it said at the start there. She had to duck down to the shop and buy a bar of chocolates to get going. Thanks. That was most interesting. This is Optimal Life on the RPH Network, and we'd like to tell you about a wonderful group of people called the Seniors Rights Service. Now, they look after us older ones. Many problems. Strata living problems you might have. Aged care in retirement villages. Advocacy. Information and legal advice, especially for older people. And the number for them is 1-800-424-079. That's Seniors Rights Service. And that number once again, 1-800-424-079. Okay, back to you now, Virginia, and I believe you've got meals that are not only good for us, but good for the planet.
And this was an article that I saw in this week's Guardian on the Thursday the 10th by a guy called Tony Lovell. And I thought, oh, sounds good. Eating a meal that is good for both you and the planet can be simple. Just ask a few questions before you tuck in. Putting biodiversity on the menu solves the thorny question of what to have for dinner. Sustainable eating doesn't have to leave you with a dietary dilemma. Nature is complex, not complicated, and there is a simple solution. Should you go full vegan, or is being just vegetarian enough? Do you completely avoid meat, go with lab-grown artificial meat, or insist on properly managed grass-fed meat only? Organic dairy milk is okay, isn't it? Your friend said soy and almond milk are better. But you just read an article about how much water it takes to grow almonds, and isn't soy farming a leading cause of rainforest clearing in the Amazon? Deciding what to eat shouldn't be this complicated. Having a meal that's good for both you and our planet should be simple, and it is. Nature's not complicated, it's complex. And while complicated problems have complicated solutions, complex problems have simple solutions. Our impact on natural ecosystems began thousands of years ago with us reducing biological diversity. Our ancestors killed off the things that wanted to eat them and protected the things they wanted to eat. Today we use hand washers, guaranteed to kill 99.9% of all bacteria. Remember, the good ones die too, and grow monocultures of corn and soy in fields that stretch to the horizon. This reduction in biodiversity leads inevitably to a reduction in biomass, that's plant cover, which leads to a reduction in photosynthesis. This leads to a reduction in both carbon dioxide uptake from the atmosphere and the release of oxygen. Next comes a reduction of accumulated organic matter, soil carbon, which in turn means nutrient cycling is disrupted and soil fertility is reduced. Rain doesn't soak in as easily as it did, and the damaged soil cannot hold on to as much of the rain as it used to. This drier soil now cannot moderate local relative humidity like it did, and across large areas, local weather is negatively impacted. Do this on enough of our planet, and our global climate starts to change for the worse. The bad news is that each of these stages is bolted onto the previous one. Reducing biodiversity will inevitably lead to negative changes in our climate. But the good news is also that each of these steps is bolted onto the previous one. Enhancing biodiversity will lead to increases in biomass, which will mean more photosynthesis and greater uptake of carbon dioxide from our atmosphere. Organic matter starts to accumulate once again, nutrient cycling kicks back in, and soil fertility begins to rebuild. These healthier soils now soak more of the rain in deeper and hold onto it for longer, mitigating against both flood and drought. This moderates relative humidity at the local level, and across large areas, local weather is now positively impacted. Do this across enough of our planet, and our global climate starts to change for the better this time. Industrial agriculture, whether crops, trees or livestock, tends to decrease biodiversity. Vast monocultures of plants and animals removed from the land and locked in sheds are inherently less diverse than multi-species plantings and properly managed livestock grazing as nature intended. I acknowledge that for many people their main source of food is and will probably remain industrial agriculture, but can we get at least some of our fruit and vegetables from local farmers' markets? Choose meat and eggs from animals that are properly managed. Eat from a wider range of different foods and not insist on summer fruits in the depths of winter. So, what does all this have to do with what you decide to have for dinner? Just ask yourself this simple question. Did the way in which my food was grown enhance biodiversity? If the answer is yes, tuck in. And that was by Tony Lovell, who manages land and livestock to regenerate ecosystems and produce positive financial, social and environmental outcomes in The Guardian, this week's Guardian.
You're listening to Optimal Life on the RPH Network.
The next article is entitled Tips for Healthy Joints from the Prevention magazine of April-May 2019. Three parts of the body susceptible to aches and pains are the hands, knees and hips. Although there are medical treatments available, you can follow these simple ideas to help keep these joints in tip-top shape. Hands. Handy hints. Your hands are busy all day long, from tying shoelaces and operating a computer mouse to texting a friend and making a cup of tea. So it's important to protect the joints in your fingers, knuckles and wrists. To do this, minimize texting. Long text messages can cause repetitive strain of finger joints, particularly if you only text with one thumb or finger all the time, says Dr. Damien Ryan, a hand surgeon with Macquarie University Hospital Hand Unit. Call or send an email instead. Support your wrists. When typing on a computer keyboard, keep your wrists in a straight line with your forearms and hands, Dr. Ryan says. Reduce risk of strain by resting your wrist on the desk or a gel pad for support, and adjust your mouse sensitivity so you don't need to push too hard on it to make it work. Also, avoid spending hours sitting on the couch using a laptop on a pillow, as this can put strain on wrists, fingers and hands. Reduce repetitive strain. Whether you are typing, practicing a musical instrument, knitting or weeding, take regular breaks from that activity every 30 to 60 minutes to rest those joints and muscles. Do some hand stretches or massage each hand for several minutes, Dr. Ryan suggests. Workouts. The thumb exercise. Hold your hands up, round shoulder height, as though you are going to wave at someone. Bend your thumb across your palm, then back. Repeat. The hand stretch. Hold your hands in a fist, then open them up and stretch out your fingers. close into a fist again, repeat. The wrist flex. Place your right elbow on a desk or table, then use your left hand to gently bend back your right wrist. Hold for a few seconds, then relax. Repeat on the other side. The palm rotation. Hold both arms out in front of you, then rotate your hands so that they alternately face the sky and the ground. Knees. Knee know-how. One in two Australians over 65 experience osteoarthritis in their knees, but your risk can be reduced. New guidelines recently released by the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners advise that surgery should be considered a last resort for treatment of knee osteoarthritis, and that exercise is the most effective treatment for Australians affected by this condition. To maximise the benefits of exercise and avoid knee injury and strain, make sure you address knee pain and injuries as soon as possible. Repeated injuries, particularly if left untreated, can lead to chronic joint problems. Stop sitting still. Stretching helps keep muscles in their optimal state, keeps you flexible and keeps the joints moving, all of which lubricates your joints, explains Carly Ryan, exercise physiologist and standards advisor for Exercise and Sports Science Australia. So when you are sitting for long periods, take regular breaks to stand up, walk around and even do some gentle stretches. Workouts. Warm up knees. Walk for about 5 minutes, gently bending your knees, Ryan says. To cool down, slowly decrease the activity. For example, go from running to walking for a few minutes, then do some gentle stretches. Watch your technique. Poor exercise technique, such as having knees too far forward, past toes, during a movement such as squatting, can lead to joint problems over time. To avoid these issues, it's worth having your form checked out by an expert, such as an exercise physiologist or qualified instructor at your gym, Ryan says. Strengthen your quadriceps. Knee joints don't move themselves. Muscles move them, Ryan says. So functional training such as doing squats, lunges and sit-to-stand moves is really important. These exercises strengthen muscles like quadriceps, which support your knee joints. Those stronger muscles then take some of the pressure off the knee joint when you move or exercise. Hips. Healthy hips. This is the largest joint in the body, which is crucial to our ease of movement every day. We may all think of it as a sign of getting older, but hip pain is not really normal as we age, and so does not need to be accepted. To protect the joints in your hips, try these easy ideas. Avoid crossing your legs. This completely changes the alignment of your lower body, putting more pressure on both your lower back and your hip joint. Lose the heavy shoulder bag. This can also throw posture out of alignment and place an extra load on hip joints. Swap to a backpack and only carry items you need. Engage in hip-friendly exercises. Keeping hips healthy involves regular movement and exercises that increase flexibility and strengthen muscles that support the hip joint, including the gluteals in your bottom and quadriceps in the front of the thigh, exercise physiologist Carly Ryan says. Workouts. Regular exercise helps to maintain your general health and reduce pain, but when you have hip pain, low-impact activities where there is less weight going through your hips and knees, such as swimming, cycling and walking, are best. You could also try water exercise. Buoyancy of the water takes pressure off your hips and you may find you can move more freely than on land. Strengthening exercises. Routines that will strengthen the muscles around your hip can also help reduce pain. If you have hip pain, you are more likely to have weakness and tightness of certain muscles in the hip and leg. If possible, consult a physiotherapist or exercise physiologist for advice about a program to suit you. More information, go to Arthritis Australia Info Line. 1800 011 041, or go to arthritisaustralia.com.au. And that article was information about how to keep joints in your hands, knees, hips healthy from the April-May Prevention Australia 2019 magazine.
Len, that was excellent. Virginia and I were actually doing the exercises here while you were reading that. Until it came to the leg exercises, we couldn't do those.
Fancy doing that in the studio. But they were fabulous exercises.
They really were, particularly as we get older. That's the sort of thing we've got to do.
I think so.
Well, after that inspiration about exercise, to finish off, we'll look at a little bit on exercise recovery. So if you want to make the most of today's exercises, try these simple ways to help your body between workouts. And this again was from Prevention, April, May. Active recovery. Can't sit still. Can't sit still on rest days. You can still improve your flexibility with a gentle yoga stretch session or try developing your meditation skills. Just make sure you keep moving, but in an easy, gentle way. Number two, hydration, hydration, hydration. If you sweat your heart out in that hot session, you'll want to replace the water within 10 to 15 minutes after stopping to prevent dehydration. Three is food, glorious food. Have a meal packed with protein for muscle repair and complex carbs to restore your energy 30 to 60 minutes after exercise. Throw in a banana for potassium if you're prone to cramping. And ice, baby, ice. Cryotherapy has been shown to reduce inflammation and joint pain, but if sitting in an ice bath doesn't strike your fancy, a cold shower is enough to relieve sore muscles. Try alternating 30 seconds hot, 30 seconds cold for 2 to 3 minutes to increase circulation and reduce muscle pain, if you're brave enough. And that will be the best of our exercises.